Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's March 23rd. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We're here on KCNR 1460, streaming out throughout the world. That's right. Call your cousins. Call your sons and daughters. If you got somebody overseas and they've got a computer, they can be listening to us right now, and they could write in and say hello to Mom and Dad. We're joined today by Bad Bob.
And good morning.
I feel a lot better today, Bob. I don't have to take all your crap now.
You no longer resemble the paint on the walls with your skin pallor, you know. You actually look more or less human.
I'd caught bubonic plague from the squirrels. But, you know, my life got a lot better yesterday. And speaking of life getting a lot better, here's my bride.
Well, good morning. Good morning, and good morning to the North State, the beautiful North State. It's currently 51 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day today. It's sunny. It's going to be a lovely, lovely day today, March 23rd. First of all, I want to start off by saying that at 1:30 p.m. today, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors is going to consider adopting a coordination agreement with the Shasta Trinity National Forest. That's about the struggle with the FS regarding their travel management plan for the Shasta Trinity, and that's been going on for a couple years. So, if you please really consider attending the hearing. It's really about our forest lands. We've talked about this when we had Les Baugh on, who's been very active in this, and we took him over to our internet show on Friday. It's something that really came up about there's going to be, again, if we close our eyes, these things are going to happen. So you have to be proactive and pay attention.
If you remember, it was the fact that the one person can literally shut down the Shasta Trinity Forest. And when we say shut it down, they have made multiple requests to the Forest Service asking for continued access to maintenance level 3 and 4 roads. And they're getting ready to shut those down. They believe the Forest Service is preparing to publish a record of decision that will exclude large portions of existing road infrastructure to OHV use. And that, you know, that includes, not just OHV use, but will access and limit access for multiple recreation uses. They've been fighting this. And so today at 1:30 in the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, get down there, fight for this. This is important. This gives you the ability to use those roads. I'd like to see Sheriff Basinko get involved in this and say, you know what? I think I need keep those roads open for emergency reasons. And then that way they do it.
Yep. I concur.
Oh, our guest today, we're going to have a full show today. Our guest starting about 7:30. We'll be talking about the Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans. And then, of course, our guest at 8 o'clock will be Patrick Jones, mayor of our fair city. We're going to be talking about several decisions made lately and also a trip that the good mayor has just made back to D.C., in case you didn't know about that.
Well, we also will be taking your emails. I've got my computer alive and ready to take them at linda@kcnr1460.com. Also, tomorrow, I'm really thrilled because, you know, I came in, we're planning this trip, and there's all kinds of activity going on, a promotion going on in the Palm Springs area. Here the tickets are almost sold out, if not sold out since we talked last, but it'll be really fun. We'll be able to get some video footage and some pictures. I hear Barbara Sinatra is going to be in the house, and if you're listening and you remember Jerry Vale, and there's the Palm Springs politicians and older crowd that are really remember Dean Martin and all that. So the Gold Diggers are doing this event it's a reunion and a special appearance on Saturday night. So this morning when I got in the office, it was really thrilling because I keep getting these pictures because there's 7 girls that we've all worked together sometime or another from the 70s on. And I'm getting pictures that I don't have in my repertoire of pictures that I'm getting. And I'm going, Carl, look at this one from the 70s. Look at this one. So what I get in today, I'm going to send to our webmaster, Brad. And because many of you have asked, we're going to post them. So tomorrow when the girls are going to call in, we'll have an hour of the different girls calling in from all over and giving us memories of Dean. So we'll have a wonderful little walk down memory lane. And there'll be pictures posted on our website, KCNR. So it's going to be thrilling that we're going to get that. We've got, again, we have some special guests coming up. But we've got to take a break. And, of course, if you're just tuning in, it's 51 degrees. This is KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome to...
Perfect lead-in.
Yeah. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, our phone lines here are 605-4567.
I don't know. Can you just see the blankets coming off and kind of getting out of the bed and feet hitting the floor, hearing that? It works.
Yeah, the only feet that hit the floor today, well, it wasn't really feet, it was my hands and then my knees because I was trying to catch
the
alarm clock that hit the floor and gone in underneath the bed, so I'm upside down.
And then
the dog is thinking, oh, this is a great new game.
He's licking his ear while he's trying to... Anyway, he had to be there. No, you didn't, but, you know. Okay, good morning.
Yeah, so let's start the day off with something really bright and cheery. Talk healthcare. Going to be signed today, it looks like, at 11:13 Eastern East Coast time.
There's going to be a
fight. It's going to change your life. It's going to change the world that you live in. Now, you can laugh and you can say, that's not going to do that. Yes, it is. If everything that's been implemented in this bill stays in this bill, it's going to change your life. It's not going to start right away, but it will start. Some things will start. In 2014, big things start if you still have the same president. But right in 14, four breathtaking changes will begin. Insurers will be required to take all applications. States will set up new insurance supermarkets for small businesses and people buying their own coverage. Most Americans will be required to carry health insurance, either through an employer, a government program, or by buying their own. Did you hear they just hired 17,000 new IRS agents? Now, what do you think that's for? Yes. That's to check and make sure that you're buying that insurance. And if you're not, you're going to be hit with a fine. Not a tax, it's a fine.
That scares me. Okay, now that is that looming black cloud.
Absolutely true. Now, the question is there going to really be a national ID card? I think what people are talking about, if you're into the National Health Service, that you're going to have a national health card so you can go to different places. This is a way of streamlining, quote, streamlining the medical records fiasco they've got going. So are you going to be required to have a national health card with all your information on it, including banking information? I don't know. That to me sounds a little bit out of the ordinary, but what can you say? What's going to start soon, though, is that people in their 20s are going to be allowed to stay on their parents' insurance. People will be able to not be turned down for having previous health concerns when they want insurance. Adult children will not be able to stay on a parental plan if they had access to employer coverage, but they can still get married and still be covered on their parents. Other reforms starting this year would prevent insurers from canceling the policies of people who get sick, from denying coverage to children with medical problems, and from putting lifetime dollar limits on a policy. They're going to get coverage. It's provided also uninsured people who can't get coverage because of major medical problems. And they would keep people from putting lifetime dollar limits on a policy. Now, we're not saying all these are bad. I mean, if somebody leaves a job, they had insurance, and they go to a new job and they say, I'm sorry, you've got this pre-existing condition, or you're spending too much money, you're not going to get insurance, that's wrong. You know, the insurance company should have to provide insurance. But those are just changes that can be done in single amounts or smaller amounts than try to take over 1/6 of the economy here. The other part too on this was adding the part on about the college scholarships. the college grants, the scholarships are now going to be going through the government instead of private insurers or instead of private companies. Again, government taking over something else from us. One of the things is how are they going, you know, when we start talking about how it's going to be paid for, and they talk about cuts in Medicare. If this goes on, I think it says something like a 20% cut in Medicare. Well, that's a kind of 20% cut to doctors that take Medicare. What do you think is going to happen then? How many of these doctors are going to be taking Medicare? We can go on and on. We've had doctor after doctor on this show talking about the problems with health insurance and talking about problems with if you make these cuts, what's going to happen? How many doctors are you going to be able to keep? Is there in the National Health Services of Britain and Canada? And when the money runs out, they stop working. And then what about the nationalization of doctors? Because what if doctors say, well, you know what? I don't have to take Medicare. So I'm going to just make my money off other, you know, off other insurers. Well, at some point, there's not going to be enough doctors. And we're going to, you know, is that then we start bringing in the third world nations or other nations' doctors to take up the slack. But, you know, at some point, you run out of that. Let's go to the phones. Sharon.
Good morning. Hey, I can hardly hear you, by the way. Can you hear me?
Hear you great.
Talking about the station or the microphone?
Okay, I can hear you now. That did
it. Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. You know, there's something that's not being talked about that really irks me. On this health care bill, back in December of 2009, it was introduced under the name of America's Affordable Health Choices Act of 2009. In addition to all these thousands of IRS people that they're hiring and all the different committees they're creating, they are going to create a committee that will be used to make sure that the choices we make in our diet, what we eat, what kind of exercise we do, what kind of lifestyle we live, that they're going to check on us, call us, have us fill stuff out, whatever it is, to make sure that we are under whatever it is that they want us to do. And if we think that the federal government now is telling us, well, McDonald's can't use this kind of grease or this people can't use sugar or whatever, they're going to get into our food supply. I mean, this really bothers me that the federal government is going to have this kind of power over our day-to-day lives under the guise of, you know, health care. It has nothing to do necessarily. Well, it does have to do with doctors, and maybe we won't have to go to doctors so much. Maybe that's what they're going to try to do, make everybody healthy, so maybe we'll cut costs by not going to the doctors.
Well, it's not just...
But I still think it should be our choice, and I feel we're getting it taken away from us, and people do not know what's in this bill, and neither do the legislatures.
Well, you know, it's what they said is that they don't know what's in it. They haven't called. I bet it, if you called them on certain parts of it, that they would be surprised. But I think you're right, Sharon. And here's the danger is once you get into this healthcare system, this is just the beginning of it. Then the next one is, well, you know, if you're going to be helped by this system, you do have to live a certain lifestyle that you're going to get a points thing. This is just my opinion. And it's going to be a points thing. Okay, if you smoke, oh, gosh, you take 100 points away. You know, you start out with 1,000
mm-hmm.
or you start out with 100. And you smoke, you take away 10 points. You know, you're 5 pounds overweight, that's another point. 100, you know, if you're 50 pounds overweight, that's another 20 points.
Yeah, well, the point is, speaking of points, we don't know. We don't really know what we've signed into law, and they're still changing it as we speak. And my hope is that the people can gather together like they did about whether it's Tank or the new bed facility for release of prisons, whatever it is, that we can get together, use platforms like your station or the tea parties or, you know, whatever options we have and try to educate ourselves and then do more action to try to stop what's going on.
I firmly believe that in 2010, if you change who's in control of Congress and the Senate, that a lot of these changes that start in 2014 may be slowed down. If
either
not,
that, perhaps we could repeal the whole bill.
Well, you know, if there's parts of the bill, if it means repealing the whole bill, so be it. But there's parts of that bill that need to be there.
Yes, but we can instead, I'd like to say, clear that out, get rid of that bill. Let's fix what we're working with now.
Yeah.
Let's plug some of those holes. You don't need a $2,700 bill to try to get the people who are committing fraud and using all the loopholes to take advantage. And the illegal aliens, I mean, they come in. If we fix that problem medically, we would have a lot better foundation to start a new plan on.
Okay, Sharon, well, thanks for your comments.
For your
We've got to take a break here.
Thanks, Sharon. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who are totally on fire, but we've got to take a break. This is Carla Lindabot on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly, News Talk Radio.
As hard as...
Well, I know I was waiting for you because that's totally Harley time.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're touching on some nerves today with health care.
Okay.
But first, we need to do the weather.
Well, we do. And, Bruce, hang on just a second. We've got to go through the weather. It's going to be sunny with a high near 76. North wind between 5 and 8 miles per hour, becoming calm. And tonight, mostly clear with a low of around 45, light and variable wind. Going to be a beautiful day out. So the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Also mark your calendars for April 15th for the Showshine Wine and Dine. We'll see you out there from 11 to 3, or 11 to 5. Beverly D'Angelo is going to be singing, and there's going to be celebrity sightings, and it's going to be incredible. Getting back to the health care, let's go to the lines. Bruce,
you're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl, Linda.
Good morning.
Well, it is going to be a challenge issue, I'm sure, but if, in fact, it all this stuff comes about, as say, remember back when Obama was campaigning and he said, we need to create a civilian police force the same size with the same technology as the military.
I remember
now,
that.
Now, does that play into what we're looking at, the 16,000 agents and 154 brand-new departments to run this, to just involved in everybody's life?
I don't think anybody knows exactly what Obama's planning, because here's a man, he's coming so far out of left field that, you know, you think, well, okay, he's got the good of the country, and, you know, that's what he wants. But is it the good of the country, or is it the good of a country he wants to build? You know, he said this is a great country that we can now begin to change. So, and he is changing it. He's putting his mark on it. The only thing that's going to stop the mark from continuing is the intent is the next election that he gets voted out. Otherwise, you know, I would say I used to think, well, you know, the idea of national health care is kind of far fetched. You know, can we do things to lean on the insurance industries, the pharmaceuticals, and all that? Yes. Well, I tell you what, you know who's not screaming? Pharmaceuticals aren't screaming. The insurance companies aren't even screaming anymore because they look at it from what this bill is giving them. The lawyers. Have you heard one thing said by lawyers? No.
No, and this is.
And why do you think? Have you heard one word about tort reform?
We don't. And the sad part about this whole thing, I mean, there's some highlights of the bill, and me and you and most everybody, even a lot of legislators, they really don't know exactly everything that they're talking about. I mean, this comes with the. With the bad news day by day as what's in this bill.
Well, you know, things like, you know, a household that makes up to four times the poverty level, about $88,000 for a family of four, is going to be eligible for assistance, for insurance. Now, there's something wrong, you know, with that, where it's, you can make $88,000 a year and you still get assistance in insurance.
And evidently, tucked away in this thing is also a provision that allows the government to really be involved in how the student loans are going to be administered and what banks they're going to be and then what the payback's going to be. And supposedly it's going to be that they'll just be controlled completely by the government and they'll have to work it out when they get out of their loan back. They'll have to work for the government for 10 years or so to pay off their loans.
Well,
that,
you know,
there is
that,
really, really scary.
Well, and then let's just don't forget, in the same time this happened was the amnesty march with thousands of people in Washington, D.C. wanting amnesty.
You haven't heard anything from La Raza. They're not really out there cranking,
well,
are they?
They're not unhappy. Hey, we got to run, Bruce.
All right, you got
thanks.
We got
to take a break.
Bruce.
You know, there's just two or three or four or five things that have been added on to this whole bill, and the fact that things are going on that are really strange. Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We're on fire. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. In case you don't listen to Michael Savage, and by the way, he is one of the most compelling talk show hosts in the United States, if not the most.
You can either love him or hate him.
You can, but you got to listen to him. You know, he may be crazy 10% of the time, but 90% of the time he hits it. And this is from an article in the investor.com yesterday. And I'm just going to read a couple of 20 reasons that 20 ways Obamacare is going to take away your freedoms. And I'm just going to read a couple. You're young and healthy and want to pay the insurance on the status for that status. Tough. You're going to have to pay for premiums that cover not only you, but also the guy who smokes 3 packs a day, drinks a gallon of whiskey, and eats chicken fat off the floor. That's because insurance companies will no longer be able to underwrite on the basis of a health status. Yeah, that's right. That's one of the ways it changes. Some of the other things. You would like to pay less in premiums by buying insurance with lifetime or annual limits on coverage. Tough. Health insurers will no longer be able to offer such policies, even if that is what the customers prefer. That's section 2711. Think you'd like a policy that is cheaper because it doesn't cover preventive care or requires cost sharing for such care? Tough. Health insurers will no longer be able to offer policies that do not cover preventive services or offer them with cost sharing, even if that's what the customer wants. That's section 2712. We have more of these, and we're going to be reading out over today and tomorrow. But here's just an example of the things that are being taken away from you from this care. You know, we said it's a good thing. Well, kids can stay on their parents' insurance at age 26. Okay, that's good for the parents and that's good for the kids, but what about the employer? He now has to pay for that to the kids are 26. Kids aren't 26. Kids are 12 or 15 and they're under 18. All right, let's go to the phones.
Ron, you're on KCNR. Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you, too.
Thank you.
I've got a couple things I'd like to say. You guys talked about your squirrel hunt up there the other day and about the fishing game coming up and writing tickets, I guess. You know, those tickets are probably going to be, they're not going to be misdemeanors. They're going to be
felonies.
Felonies. And they will gladly let you caught or plead guilty if you'll just go for a misdemeanor. And this is their arrogant attitude. And this is the same thing that the people are irritated about, you know, our government officials with just the Forest Service. I mean, that Sharon Haywood won't even come down and talk to anybody. And they're going to force in the amnesty for the illegal aliens. And this is just the pompous, arrogant attitude that our politicians have. They won't even talk to us or their representatives won't even talk to us. And that's why these tea parties are getting started, because people are so fired up that they just can't handle what the politicians and what their representatives are doing. So anyhow, that's what I've got to say, and I'll take my answer on the air.
Well, you know, Ron, you're absolutely right. That's why people are forming up. That's why people are mad. That's why do you think talk shows have exploded over the last 20 years? And why do you think they're most listened to?
Why are we so driven?
You know, it's the fact is you're right. People feel like they don't have a voice. Well, and this is what community radio is so good for. Community radio gives you a voice. Community radio gives you a chance to talk and say, I don't like this, and my neighbors don't like this, my friends don't, and my parents don't like this. So let's get together in a large group of people and go down and tell them we don't like this, and maybe that will make a difference. But what you're talking about in the forestry, our guest today.
Beautiful segue.
It's a great segue.
Absolutely. It's Julie Clausen. And even though we have several things that we're going to cover with Julie this morning, but Julie just got back from Washington, D.C. Tell us about your trip. Why were you there?
Well, I was part of an effort with Federated Women in Timber. It's nationwide. I'm a past president of California Women in Timber. Myself and Kathy Loosecoat, also of Reading and a former president of California Women in Timber, went to D.C. last week to lobby Congress on behalf of the timber and wood fiber products industries. We've been going back since 1979, and it's just an annual event that we do. We were able to get in and see Congressman Herger. He gave us about 40 minutes of his time, which is pretty incredible considering the wrangling that was going on with the health care back there last week. And we saw Congressman Jerry Lewis, who is got a key position on appropriations, and ask him about some of the issues that we were back there to talk about. For instance, sustainable forestry, mostly on public lands, but also on private lands. It's easier to deal with on private than it is on public because people don't understand what a healthy forest is supposed to look like. So we go back and we say, you know, it's a crop. Trees are a crop. It's like planting carrots. If you don't thin them, you're going to have a spindly crop. So you have to thin so that there's, you know, the carrying capacity of the land can sustain the growth. So.
And what happens when you tell people that?
Well, the people that don't know are very skeptical. So that's when we get out our nice pie charts and bar charts and say, well, look, since 1956, there's been this much growth and this little removal. When you see the chart for the last few years, you've got, I believe, 8 to 1 more growth than you do removal. So, you know, this is why we have the catastrophic fires that we have. It's why we have the spread of like beetle bark disease and so forth. If you can't get rid of the dead and dying trees, then you can't protect the healthy trees that are left in the forest.
Well, you shouldn't be able to cut down those beautiful trees. My gosh, that's nature, and all y'all are a bunch of clear-cutter, environmental-hating, you know, business corporations, monoliths.
Well, I'm not saying that there weren't, you know, things done in previous years. The cut and run of some of the large corporations back in the 40s and 50s. But you have to realize that California is actually the most strict regulated forest industry in the world, not just in the United States, but in the world. So they look at us, the rest of the nation, and they're scared because what happens here spreads throughout the nation.
We're going to come back with Julie Clausen, our guest. We've got many things to cover, but we're right now talking about her trip to Washington and forestry. This is Carlin Linda Blatt. We are taking your call 605-4567 if you have a question for our guest. We'll be back after these messages. This is KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Hey, you.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carlin Linda Blatt. I'm going to get a spear in my chest here in just a second. Hey, our phone line is here, 605-4567. 20 reasons, 20 ways you're going to lose your rights under the Obama health care plan. I've read a few. If you are an employer who offers health flexing spending arrangements and your employees want to deduct more than $2,500 from their salaries for it, sorry, can't do that. If you're a young man who wants just a regular health plan, and you don't want to pay for pediatrics or anything else that goes along with kids, too bad. You can't do it. Not under the new health plan.
What section?
That was section 1302.
Good. Good for you. Good boy. Oh, and if you want to see these 20 reasons the Obama health care is, I don't care, we're going to go to the top of the page. Anyway, we listened to this Michael Savage on yesterday. It was on, and who's this by again? Now you're at the top.
Investors.com. It's Investors.com, powered by Investors Business Daily. It was written by a guy named David Hogberg. 20 ways Obamacare will take away our freedoms.
It just goes on and on. Yesterday was a Black Monday. I felt because Carl and I are so involved and we're very involved in the community, and you just felt this kind of gloomy feeling going on. Like, it's almost like we went to war, or you know, it's like after 9/11 happened, and I know that's a weird analogy, but it's like, wow, there's been a shift in our world as we've known it. And I really believe that happened yesterday. However, this morning when we turned on Fox, you know, just for a little fix before we start to get, you know, ready. And, you know, you hear about so many people inside Washington that are going to appeal, that are going to take, you know, they're going to fight and say this is unconstitutional. There's how many states, Carl?
30 states that are already, two states have already signed into it that it's unconstitutional, force people to buy health care. You know, the other thing, too, is that, you know, I was talking to my sister yesterday, and my brother-in-law is a doctor, as we know many doctors. And she said, yeah, you know, Steve's real happy. He just took a 20% pay cut yesterday.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, the main reason that Julie came in today was to talk about welcome home to Vietnam veterans.
Yes, I did. And I'm really, really happy to be here. We have events going on this Saturday, the 27th, from 10 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon at the Vets Hall on Yuba Street. We also, let me go back just a second. Last September 29th, Governor Schwarzenegger signed into law that March 30th of every year would hence be known as Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day in the state of California. We are the first state in the nation to recognize this day.
Hallelujah.
Exactly. I mean, imagine. Positive for Vietnam veterans.
Yeah.
Wow. What a shock. So.
Unfortunately, they called it the Jane Fonda bill. Just
well,
kidding.
That just rained all over it. So go ahead.
Come on.
Let's
there.
Rain
just,
on that moment, Carl.
Just kidding.
Okay, Julie. There's the spear. Take the spear out now. Okay.
Well, there'll be events going on. The effort for this recognition started in 2000 in Whittier by a Vietnam veteran, Jose Ramos. Since then, the last 10 years has been moving toward this designation of March 30th. One of the things that makes us unique, there will be 9 other events throughout the state to recognize this day. But one of the things that makes Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 357 here in Shasta County unique is that we are actually having a Missing in America Project and Patriot Guard Riders escort to the California State Veterans Cemetery in Igo to have a memorial for the 44 killed in action Shasta servicemen. So the names will be read. There will be the bell will toll. And then we're also there offering a posthumous welcome home to the Vietnam veterans who have died since coming home with various injuries and so on. I did have occasion to visit the Vietnam Memorial while I was back in D.C. And give some of the literature out that we had so that these guys would know, you know, this is coming. This is something that's happened in California, you know, you can get behind this effort as well. One man, his name was McDonald, was suffering from liver cancer and leukemia from Agent Orange exposure. And we got to talking, and I handed him one of our Welcome Home Vietnam Veteran certificates that we'll be passing out to Vietnam veterans this Saturday. Also makes us unique because nobody else is doing this in the state. And he was crying, and I left the wall with his tears on my cheek. It was unbelievable. So, you know, I think there's a healing that can occur, and I really encourage people to come out. It's not just for Vietnam veterans. The national motto for Vietnam Veterans of America is never again will one generation of veterans abandon another. So we've opened up for displays, information, and so on for all service organizations of all eras to be there and present their membership and their organization information. We're having the 38-foot RV mobile vet center from Humboldt County come over because they wanted to be a part of our, quote from them, historic event here in Shasta County. So we'll have that. We have the Huey will be there all day. We have a World War II Jeep that will be there all day. We have our Shasta County Veterans Service Office will be represented. Jim Young will be there. We'll have proclamations from, as a matter of fact, at 9 o'clock this morning, Shasta County Board of Supervisors is giving us a proclamation. So Congressman Herger's aide will be there as well. Dave Muir will be there with recognition of the day. So we're excited.
We've got to take a break. And, Julie, this is lovely. Stay with us. When we come back, we want to talk more about the events happening the historical events happening this weekend and this morning, and how you can be involved. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, clearly News Talk Radio. Simple. Okay.
I'm supposed to come on right now, but I am busy dancing.
You know, we always
Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Bob wins the Bump Music Award of All Engineers. He knows exactly how to keep those juices flowing.
He saw me wearing that white dancing suit and those black shoes with my red shirt and my hair pumped up.
Okay. He had a black shirt on, you know, it's very, you know, infamous. Let's get down to some serious stuff here that's just been phenomenal. It's historical.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, our guest is Julie Clausen. We're talking the welcome home to our Vietnam veterans that's happening this Saturday.
Yes.
So it's we've got about 7 minutes. So
okay.
Let's talk more.
Okay. Let's talk about what time.
Everybody's invited.
Oh. Everybody's invited.
It's free. You get free coffee
and
donuts.
Yep, free coffee and donuts first thing in the morning. And we have free lunch. You know, there is such thing as a free lunch, because you can get that if you come down to the Veterans Hall between 12:30 and 2, or until they run out. We'll have hot dogs and chili and chips. And Sons of Italy has generously come forward to help us with the food. Also, I understood from a conversation last night, Sergeant Leedy is coming forward, with a donation. I think he's helping out with our chili, and, Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council has come forward with, plates and bowls and plasticware and things like that. And I mean, the sponsors and the people that have come forward to help out our little chapter. I mean, I really feel like we're the little chapter that could. At this point, because in Boondocker's Ball is set forward, they're being quite amazing.
Now,
so
now they're having their big affair right after you all.
They
same
are.
Place.
They are. So yes, we're sharing the Veterans Hall.
I'm just trying to get give us the account of the times of the days and the events. Where do we start?
Okay, we start actually getting ready for the memorial service at the Veterans Cemetery. You want to meet at the Veterans Hall, 1605 Yuba Street at 8:15 for coffee and donuts. You want if you want to be part of the motorcade out to the cemetery with the flags and the stopping of traffic and escorting the hearse out to the cemetery, then you need to be there by 9 o'clock in the morning for your briefing. Vehicles will be lined up at 9:15. They'll depart at 9:30 and arrive at 10:15, and the program starts at 10:30 in the morning at the cemetery if you want to go straight there.
Okay, so if somebody wants to be involved with the motorcade mm-hmm. begins from the Veterans Hall.
Yes.
Okay, and that they have to be there by 8:15.
Well, they don't have to be there by 8:15. They do need to be there by 9 for sure.
Okay. Now, I'm just saying to our listeners, if you've never been in a motorcade out to Igo Cemetery, to the Veterans Cemetery, it is something you really need to do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Flags flying.
It's just part of, you're proud to be an American, honor your fallen veterans. It's just a phenomenal feeling to, you know, bring your flags, go through, just have this experience on Saturday morning. What a beautiful way to do that. Okay, so then once you get to Igo Cemetery,
mm-hmm.
then you have your beginning ceremony at?
The ceremony begins at 10:30 in the morning. It'll run approximately a half an hour, and then the guys will return back to the Veterans Hall. In the meantime, the events at the Veterans Hall begin at 10 a.m. So if you can't make it out to the cemetery, or it's just too emotional,
You can still come out to the Veterans Hall. It's family friendly, community friendly. We're going to have a lot of historic displays and so on. We're also going to have something fun. We're going to be having Tony Armstrong and the War Buddies Band is going to be playing 60s and 70s music, the music of the Vietnam era. So we'll have live music. I believe that'll be from 11 to 2 or 3. I can't remember. And then we have a formal program with, again, the reading of the names, Native American blessing, history of the Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day, reading of the proclamations. Those things will happen at 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the Veterans Hall. And events will go until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So it's chock full of wonderful festivities, all very Welcome Home Vietnam, and
yes.
You said you've opened up to the other branches as well.
Exactly.
Honoring our Vietnam vets, but then all services for all wars. So.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then the Boondocker Ball.
And I'm on that committee too, so I'll be at the Vets Hall from like 7:30 in the morning until, I don't know, 11 or whatever at night.
How are you going to get, is the ballroom already going to be, decorated? Because I remember last year it had a lot of decorations for the Boondocker Ball.
Exactly. Well, as a matter of fact, yes, I believe they're coming in Thursday and Friday to decorate the hall, which, you know, by piggybacking our events, we were able to get our decorations,
great.
Or, you know, essentially we'll be up. There'll be a little bit of logistical issue with the way our tables will be set up and then converting the room quickly to the way the dinner tables need to be set up for Boondocker. But we can do it, you know. We are a good group of people on both sides.
It's going to happen. It's going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Well, Julie, we want to thank you so much for the service and the things that you do for our veterans in the countless hours. We had the chance of working with you with our packaging for the troops, Christmas for the troops, and it was phenomenal, the committee that made that happen, mm-hmm. and what a successful outcome that was, and know how tirelessly you work. We also would encourage our listeners to go to the Boondockers Ball. This is such a great event. We do have to take our hard break at 8 o'clock for Fox News, and thank you so much, Julie. Do we have just like 30 seconds left?
Yep, 30 seconds.
Closing thoughts.
Oh, my goodness. It's just going to be an amazing day. Please come out. Please support us. You know, we're just, like I said, a little chapter. And as a Vietnam era veteran of the Air Force myself, please come.
It's going to be great. Hey, this is Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR, Shasta Redding. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Welcome back to our second hour of our show. Before we get to the mayor, we have something else that's really important we need to talk about. Our guest is Dwayne Mason, and he's here to talk about that grand jury because we're getting ready to have that open house here on the 25th.
Yes, good morning, Carl. Yeah, we're having an open house on the 25th at 5:30 at the Turtle Bay Museum. We're going to do a short presentation on what grand juries do, and then we're going to have some speakers there, some past grand jurors, and some of the county officials will be there to talk to the group.
Well, I don't think people realize how important this is, that the grand jury can go into malfeasance and they can look into city government.
The grand jury's got three basic areas that they can look at, Carl. The first one is the criminal indictments. If the district attorney feels that he needs to get a fast indictment, or doesn't want to share the information he has, he'll bring it to the grand jury. Then they can look at the public officials to make sure that they're doing their job and doing it properly. And then, of course, they can investigate any state or city and county government office that is in the county.
Now, if I write something and say, hey, I want you to investigate this entity, and I just write you a letter to the grand jury, does the grand jury take a look at that?
Well, there's a complaint form that folks can fill out, and you can get that up on our website, which is ShastaCountyGrandJury.org. Fill the complaint form out, send it in to the grand jury, and they'll take a look at it.
Okay. Well, then that opens up a lot of different things. Now, what are the requirements to be a member of the grand jury?
There's just a few basic requirements. Of course, you have to be a U.S. citizen. You have to be 18 years of age. And you have to have resided in Shasta County for at least 1 year. Be of good character, have good judgment, and things like this.
Good character. Do they do a background check on you?
Absolutely.
Oh, sorry, Bob. There goes Bad Bob's chance of being on the jury. There goes most half of running there. No, just kidding. You know, this is an important job, and it's on. You have it for a year.
Yes, you do it for 12 months. It's a great opportunity for folks to learn how their local government works, meet some of the officials that you read about in the newspapers, and also meet some other interesting folks that have the same interests that you have in ensuring that we've got good government here locally.
Well, that's the important thing, is to take a good look at the government we have to kind of be their watchdog, somebody looking over their shoulder to make sure what they're doing is correct and judicious, fiscally responsible.
Well, I think particularly at this time, folks sit and listen to all the news and they say, what in the world can I do? I feel so powerless. Well, here's an opportunity. You can walk in off the street, become part of a 19-member team, investigate your local government, and make some changes.
Well, I think that's true. And once you have the ability to do that, it's something, you're doing something for the community, you're doing something for your neighbors, you're doing something that's right. And I think that's just, you know, when you have an opportunity to do that, why not at least go down and visit this open house? You're probably going to learn a whole lot.
Absolutely. It's an opportunity. I think folks look for ways to volunteer, give back to their community. And this is certainly one where you'll get a great deal of personal satisfaction knowing that you were active taking part in studying your local government and making some changes.
Now, how long have you been on the grand jury?
I was only on 1 year, 2001-2002.
Okay. What would you say was the most significant thing that you remember?
The most significant thing I remember is that the fact of digging into a government department and learning all the fine details about what they're doing, talking with the people that make things happen in government, very exciting.
Well, that's great. You know, this is such an important part of our community that we strongly urge people to go down on the 25th to Turtle Bay, and it begins at what time?
At 5:30 in the museum.
5:30 at the museum. They're going to have some kind of facts that are presented and to talk to people about people being interested in this. And how many people do you need for the grand jury?
You need 19.
19.
And then there's some alternates that are selected because many times folks can't finish their 12-month term.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'd really like to do something like this. We're not set up for this year to be able to do that with opening this new business because they're hanging upside down 7 days a week. But at some point, I'd sure like to take a look at doing the grand jury.
I think it's something everyone should put on their to-do list. It's a worthwhile effort, and it certainly gives you a lot of personal satisfaction once you do it.
Okay, look, we're going to have a question here before we let you off. Linda.
Hi, Carl.
You're on KCNR. Do you have a question for Mr. Mason?
I have a morning voice, so bear with me.
Okay.
Good morning, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
My question is, what would it be appropriate to get this Shasta County Grand Jury Forum complaint and put on my question? I have a strong suspicion, I'm sure it's true, this person who works for a public agency is using the letterhead of the public agency that they work for to do their own private business. And I know they're involved in a lawsuit because I know the people that they were involved in the lawsuit in. And this is, he's a current employee, but it's been a year since this happened, it's unethical. So would that be something to investigate, this person? Would you name the person on the complaint form?
No.
Make it generic.
You can't say any names on the radio, of course.
No. That would certainly, if this individual works for your city or county government, then that would be an appropriate complaint to file with the grand jury. And you need to remember that the grand jury works in confidentiality. They do not reveal the facts that they learn, either the names or the specifics of a complaint.
Once I get the form, if I had questions about how to fill it out, do they ask specific questions on the form as to the person?
They will. There's a number of questions on the form, and you'll need to fill it out to the best of your ability to give the grand jury all the facts. Now, once you do fill it out, they very likely may call you and want to set up an interview so that you can speak to them in person, and this will be in, held in confidence.
Great, because this person is a very litigious individual, being an attorney himself.
Hey, Linda,
so they're so happy. I'd be so afraid, but it needs to be corrected.
Yeah, well, he said they would be kept in confidence, and we have to run. We're at a hard break, Linda. Thank you so much, Linda.
Bye-bye.
All right.
I'm going to take a break here.
Dwayne Mason, thank you so much for coming on in and talking about the grand jury. Again, Thursday at the Turtle Bay for the Shasta County Grand Jury meeting. And it starts at?
5:30.
And you can be a part of the Shasta County Grand Jury, the watchdog of local government. I love it.
Carl, take a break. Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. We've had a busy day so far. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe, if you want coffee, they got coffee. Any way you want it, any way you can make it, they've got it. And the finest walk-in humidor in the state. Joe and Shelley have a great place there at Tobacco and Brew. So much more than just a fine tobacco emporium. Uh-oh, what's that? Yes, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like our next guest has just arrived. Mayor Patrick Jones.
Thank you. That is one of my nicknames. I got a nickname.
That was good, Bob.
Someone called me Machine Gun Jones.
Machine Gun Jones.
I'll take that. That's all right.
Well, you know what? It's only in Reading in the North State where you can introduce the mayor with machine guns fired, and then everybody goes, yeah!
It has a good sound, I agree.
Well, we're coming up with new things every day for our guests. We had one the other day, we had chickens. But anyway.
Welcome, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl Lindell. Thank you for having me on again, as always.
And why don't we just start at the top here of our time with you, talking about your trip to Washington, and then we'll go to some questions that have come in from emails, take calls. But how about your trip to Washington? What do you have to report?
Well, I did go, and I should note that this was not paid for by the taxpayers. So that's a good thing, because this would have cost many thousands of dollars to get me there to do a little lobbying for the city of Reading on a transportation project, the Oasis Road project. So this was paid for by Don Levinson, the developer in this area. And he's sure been working hard on trying to highlight and put some light on this interchange problem so that this whole area can be developed. So I thank him for that and thank him for getting me there. I did have a good chance to meet up with a lot of different legislative aides, chief of staffs, and, of course, I had meetings both with our U.S. senators, both of our U.S. senators, Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer. So, while we may sit at, opposite ends of the spectrum on many issues, I think we could all agree on a transit need here in Northern California. And most people in Washington, they don't know what Northern California is. They don't know that there's something, north of Sacramento. And so we had an opportunity. I had an opportunity to explain where Reading is, some of our needs, and that we are the largest city north of Sacramento in this part of the state. And so it was a good opportunity to get ready and out in front and let people know. Of course, it was a busy week last week.
Yeah, you picked the week that healthcare arrived.
So it was a lot of stuff going on, but a lot of people were there, and so our meetings went well. And we had a lot of different meetings. I met with 13 different people. From the Department of Transportation to the U.S. senators themselves. And, hopefully, it'll bear fruit. If there's a highway bill with this project included in that, that would be super. There's certainly money doled out in Washington, and the matter, it's who is going to get it. And, is Northern California going to see some of that tax dollars back, or is it going to go to the big metropolitan areas of the Bay Area and in Southern California? What I was stressing was that a $20 or $25 million project here would be a noticed improvement in our local economy, and we would see it immediately. There would be jobs.
It would be huge.
It would be a big thing for us.
We're in San Francisco or L.A., it's just like, oh, business as usual.
Exactly. If you put $25 million on the ground in San Jose, it really wouldn't do a lot, and that economy would not, you know, really see any help. So that was my job, and I had fun. I have been to Washington once before, but it's been 30 years, and so it's been quite a long time. But this time I was on a quick time schedule, meeting after meeting, 3 days very quickly, with meeting right after meetings, and maybe that'll bear fruit someday.
Well, that's good. We like to hear that our mayor is, you know, boots on the ground in Washington, as Carl would say, fighting for stuff to happen here in the North State, which leads me to an email question that came in. I think we should do this quickly before our break. This is for you, Patrick. We're in the grips of the worst recession in modern memory in the North State, and Reading Electric Utility plans nearly double-digit rate increases for the next 4 or 5 years. What can the City Council do to rein in these increases, which will hurt retirees, working families, and businesses?
Well, that's a great question, Mark, as always, and Mark always stays in tune, and we really like people that do that. The fact of the matter is that cost of supplying power is on the increase, and you can certainly see from last week with our City Council meeting that we had a special meeting on Monday where we tried to contain costs, and we had to work through a negotiation with one of our unions, and it was very tough and difficult, and tough decisions have to be made in these tough times. We are in one of the worst economic times that anyone has seen in a lifetime, and we'd have to go back to the Great Depression to see something of this magnitude. And so we're trying to do what we can. We are trying right now. We are about half to three-quarters away through Power Plant 6. And when completed, we will be able to meet our peak demand instead of buying that energy on the open market for extremely high costs. So that's something that is going to pay dividends later on. We are trying always, our director, Paul Hooser, of electricity, he is always trying to look at contracts and look at opportunities to buy power on the wholesale market that is a good long-term contract, and there's not many of them out there today. We are working, we've gotten fairly lucky in that we have about 25 megawatts of power coming down, green power, wind turbine generated power from the Columbia River Gorge project, and we bought into that when the price was reasonable. If we bought in today, that price would be practically double the cost. So there's a lot of things that we're attempting to do. There's a lot of things that we have done, and we've still got a lot more work to do. We're very aware of these rate increases and how they affect our community. Again, here we are in a global recession, and rates at a near, double digit. We've seen for the last couple years now near double digit increases in our utility rates, and so we're very aware of that. We know how it affects every person.
Our guest today is Mayor Patrick Jones, here on the Carl and Linda Free Fire Radio program. We've got to take a break here. We're taking your call, 605-4567, or email me right now, linda@kcnr1460.com, if you have any questions for the mayor.
Put the mayor in the hot seat.
This is KCNR.
As hard as it may be to believe, every...
Back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. You know, we've got something to give away. That's right. We have tickets. Two tickets to give away to the Home and Garden Show this weekend in Anderson. You'd be the first one to call in at 605. Now listen to this. 605-4565. And you have just scored two tickets for the Home and Garden Show that you can pick up here tomorrow. That's two tickets for the Home and Garden Show from KCNR. Okay.
Our guest today is Mayor Patrick Jones, and we are taking your emails. I've got a bunch coming in here. Patrick, let's go with the next question. That is, why Oasis Road when so many empty commercial buildings around Dana Drive and Hilltop?
Absolutely. Well, it's a great question, and a lot of people have asked me that question over time. The bottom line is that Oasis Road has something very important that some of the other areas of our town does not, that they do not have. And that very important something is the I-5 corridor. That is very attractive to certain businesses of the high volume style. And we you know, just because it is a global recession, we do not stop planning and preparing for the future. And Oasis Road is on the inside of our city limits, and it essentially, in my opinion, is an infill project. That interchange, until that interchange can be brought up to modern standards, really very little to no development can occur on either side of I-5. I think what people need to understand is that while some of our commercial properties will sit idle for a while until the economy improves, there are businesses right now that will come to the I-5 corridor that we can attract. Also, to retain. If we don't make an attempt to retain some of our businesses, they will leave and head to an I-5 corridor that's not inside our city limits. And a good example of that is the Hawkins Group pushing hard at Knighton Road. And if they get that development forward, that very, very, very well pull some of our businesses that that generate a lot of sales tax revenue and pull that out of the city of Reading. Now, we're trying to keep police and fire, and we have infrastructure, and we have a lot of things that we need to do, and we're doing them on a declining revenue over the last 3 years, substantially less revenue. We need to do everything we can to create an opportunity for businesses to do well here. And simply put, that Oasis Road interchange was poured in 1967. It's way out of date. It needs to come up to speed. It is the City of Reading's responsibility to work with the developers to be able to help that. It has the potential of capturing revenue that otherwise would be leaving one end of our city and staying here within the City of Reading. And so it's a very important project to me. I see the value of it. And again, it's not going to happen overnight. These things will take years.
We just have a few seconds before our 8:30 hard break, but let's go to the phones. Ron, you're on line one on KCNR this morning. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on, Ron.
Okay. One way that you can save people from having high bills on their electric meters is not allow the PG&E to put in the smart meters. And I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
Well, you know, I wish I controlled PG&E, but we don't. We are with the City of Reading, and I have no answer for that question since, that is a decision that PG&E makes, and that is something that needs to be brought up, obviously, with that corporation and that company. So that's just simply out of my area to be able to do something with that. PG&E is its own entity.
We've only got a minute left here before we take a hard break, and
we have some more emails.
More emails that we're going to go back to as soon as we get back. By the way, we've given away the tickets. Carolyn, you have one.
And by the way, it's Linda at KCNR1460.com. If you're sitting at your computer and you're streaming, email us for a question for our mayor, Patrick Jones.
Let's talk. You know, it's a really good question about REU that every year it's going up double digits. In 4 or 5 years, we're going to be, paying 75%, 50 to 75% more than we're paying right now. We're already paying $400. And I don't see how that can be fixed.
Well, it's not easy. The fact of the matter is creating power on the inside of California, very difficult.
Okay, we're going to discuss this as soon as we get back. This is Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Patrick Jones, mayor of Reading. Now, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We are streaming at KCNR1460.com, and you can get a hold of Linda at linda@KCNR1460.com. Let's go to the phones. John, you're on KCNR.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning, Carl?
You know what? I'm feeling 100 times better than yesterday because I had that squirrel bite plague or something like that for a day.
Well, also, this beautiful sunshine has got to get to you.
Yeah.
It does. I can just barely see it from the studio, but it looks like sunshine out there.
Mayor Patrick Ratatat Jones.
That's me.
Ratatat Jones. That's good, John.
Okay. They're going to have another meeting today considering the sale or the closing of the Reading Convention Center. And I was wondering if you have a position on this, and I'd like to hear it on air.
Absolutely.
But I have one other question. I'm going to add this together, and then you can just go ahead and address the situations, okay?
Absolutely.
There is a rumor of an additional $5 million shortfall in the city budget. As far as I can tell, this is about $15 million since November of 2009. Each month, each meeting, it seems, the city council listens to the staff reports and approves movement of funds from one account to another. Cutbacks and layoffs seem to be the status of the meetings each time. And to me, there should be a more complete plan to address these shortages. We have a qualified staff there who are, I know, cognizant of what's going on economically in the nation, in the world, in the cities, states, everything. We need some sort of a controlled program, understanding what our future is and addressing this thing on more than just a stopgap every week meeting that says we're in trouble. We know we're in trouble. What are we going to do going into the future?
Two good questions. I'll address them both. First, the convention center. I am not in favor of closing the convention center. In fact, that story that you saw in the paper, it was because I'd called up a reporter and put that story out there. I didn't feel that that email was a confidential email. We did give our city manager the authority. Council did give our manager authority to look for funds to help Turtle Bay. But I had no idea that that would possibly contemplate shutting.
Oh, now we're talking about the original meeting. Is that what you're there?
Meetings in, of the past, and it may not have been the first, it may not have been the second, but essentially discussions were talked about the possibility, and they were very early on and very basic discussions. But I am not in favor of closing the convention center. In fact, I'm completely opposite. I want that convention center to be more productive. I want to see more groups be able to utilize it. I want to be more aggressive in marketing it and being able to provide more things to do at the city of Reading. And I think that's going to be this, the savior of the convention center. Of course, it's booked up almost every week throughout the year. If you want a particular date, you can't get it for well over a year. It's that week, you know, during the week and when we need to fill it, and we need to get aggressive and try to fill it. The perfect example of that is the Loggers Convention bringing in Sarah Palin. Brought in great revenue for them. They took a chance and it paid off. And those are the kinds of things that we need to do. I'm in no way in favor of closing the convention center and taking that money and getting it over to Turtle Bay and then part of it maybe getting over into the general fund. I would fight hard against that. That facility is a landmark in Reading and it's used extensively and I want to promote it. And I want to increase its activity. So that was the first question. I think that gives you a little bit more clarity as to how I stand on the convention center. I want it to stay there, and I want to improve the activities that we do. The second question, having to do with budget and shortfalls, the reality is we are in a global recession the likes that we have never seen before, and it's a little tricky. It's beyond tricky. It's near impossible to try to predict how these quarters are going to be coming in, and they have come in, you know, unbelievably bad quarter after quarter, year after year. And, you know, when you're down, you know, a double digit into the 20% drop from the previous year of the same quarter, you know, we have never seen that. So trying to prepare for that is almost impossible. And so essentially we are. As we see those quarters coming in, we have to adjust. We have to do that. Now, the next cut coming up possibly maybe around a $2 to $3 million shortfall. That is possible. But we're dealing with those. The council's done an excellent job in making adjustments. We've cut out, you know, over $15-16 million of the budget today. And we're having to react to these quarters as they come in. Again, because they're coming in so bad, it's a little difficult to try to predict that. I mean, we have seen a decline for three straight years, quarter after quarter after quarter. It is a global recession of an unprecedented nature. And we have to, you know, we have a balanced budget today. We have a 5% reserve, so it's hard to keep those reserves up. Those reserves are declining. But it's the fact of the matter is, yeah, it would be great to try to create a plan and budget for these reductions, but we can't. It's just simply almost impossible. But what I can tell you, because it is an excellent question, is that we are reacting to them as they come in. We're trying to reduce those costs the best that we can and still provide the highest level of service that we can. And many times over the last couple of years, we've had to go to our unions and ask for concessions. And that's difficult. You know, those are things that those unions have fought for. They have bargained for them in good faith, fairly. And the fact of the matter is that sometimes today we can't afford some of those issues, and we ask for concession or we have to lay off personnel. My goal is to not lay off anyone, is to keep everyone working through this global recession. But that would mean that we would need some concessions from our unions. And that's that. I understand that, and I know it's difficult. No one likes going backwards and working for less this year than they did last year. But the fact of the matter is we have...
Well, fact of the matter is that many of us are doing that.
We have to do it.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice. And those are tough decisions. But, we the council, will stay respectful through these processes that we go through. We value our city workers, and we're going to try hard to keep them all working.
Which I believe answers the email that came in that said, have the city's finances hit bottom yet? Still more cuts looming.
Well, again, I can't answer that question because I can't tell you. If I had a crystal ball and could look out into the future. But what I have noticed in this last quarter, the fourth quarter of last year, is that the amount of drop was less than what I've seen it in the past 3 years. So the percentage that it was down, it was still down, but it was very much flattened compared to quarters before. So that, to me, could very well be the first signs of economy that's finally getting to the bottom.
Yeah.
And once we can declare we're at bottom, then it can start going up over time. And so there are some good signs, but we will have to take a look at each quarter as they come in.
We're not out of the woods yet. Hey, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Patrick Jones, mayor of Reading. If questions for Patrick, either email it to us at linda@kcnr1460.com or call us at 605-4567.
Welcome back. Let's do it together. One, two, three.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. They're kind of jammed, as are the emails. Let's go to the emails.
Okay. An email that came in. How hard do you think, I'm not sure about this, how hard do you think SEIU and IBEW will work to unseat you and Councillor Bassetti this fall? And what will be your platform?
I have no knowledge of, some of the unions, and I know that we've had to make tough decisions, and so I know there'll be some unions that may not be happy with me and maybe other council members as well. I'm not really going to worry about it. I'm not going to focus in on that. We've got tons of issues during the campaign as it comes up because I will be rerunning to hold on to my seat. I will be focusing in on issues and trying to be respectful, of course, in the process. And, I really do appreciate all the hard work of our city employees. We have a lot of good, hard employees. But one of my jobs is to balance that budget, and so we're forced to make some tough decisions and regrettably lay some people off if concessions can't be made. So those are the tough things that I have to do, and that is a mark of good leadership, of having to do tough things when you really don't want to do them, but you have to do them because we owe it to our community as a whole, all 90,000 of us, to make sure that budget is balanced and try to do it in a way that where we do the least amount of harm to our good workers.
And unfortunately, it's not always popular. Let's go to the phones. Jim, you're on line one on KCNR. Good morning.
Good morning. Morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning. Thank you.
Hey, on the city manager, assistant city manager and the deputy city manager has $500,000 of wages. Have they voluntarily turned back any of that money so the city could make it, or are they just holding on tight?
No, they have actually. Our city manager has foregone raises for at least 2 years that I know of, and I realize that that management, and I see the amounts of money that they make, and it's pretty solid money for Reading. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at Reading like a corporation, we do need people at the helm. And I'm not saying that their pay is appropriate. It does seem to be high to me. I certainly don't make anything like that. We make $500 a month for council members and the mayor. My personal income is around $37,000 a year. And so here I am, a blue-collar worker. I am college-educated, grew up here in Reading, and I do see management making, sizable amounts of money. That's certainly a concern. But at the same time, I try not to focus in on that. We've got a city to run. We do need good management. We have good management. And they have foregone raises through this global recession, and that sends a good message to all. I personally have given up all health care benefits. I don't take any vision, dental, medical at all. And I did that from the very beginning because I didn't think that it would be fair for me not to make a concession when I knew I would have to be going out to our workers and asking for some small concessions. And so we're all doing our part the way
you know, the best way that we can, and I'm doing my part, and I'm certainly not going to ask our city workers to give up their benefits such as I have done. But there'll be times for us to be able to get through this recession that small concessions will need to be made. But I agree, you know, the top management, salaries seem to be high. They have foregone some raises, and that's a good thing. That's a positive thing that shows some leadership.
Thank you for your call, Jim.
Okay, this is an email. In order to encourage industrial development, will you support eliminating excessive regulations and lowering or eliminating development fees?
Absolutely. It's a great question, Russell. Appreciate it. It's a good question, and I would. We need some changes at City Hall, just like this question indicates, that we need to welcome people here. We need to bend over backwards. Now, I was not in favor of giving land away at Stillwater, but at the same time, we need to work with people. We need to cooperate. We need a sense of urgency. And I do believe in many cases that the impact fees are high and excessive. And so I would not be bashful about looking into that, and I will try to make that a priority for the remainder of this year to look in and to make sure that that nexus is there. In order, if for us to charge an impact fee, it has to be a fee appropriate to the task at hand, and it can't be excessive, and that should be looked at. I know Chico looked at their impact fees several years ago, and they made adjustments, and I believe that may be something I might do here very soon.
Great. Let's go to the lines. Anita, you are on KCNR.
Oh, hi there. Thank you, Patrick, for all the good work you do for us.
Thank you.
In the city. And Reading is such a beautiful place. S.J. Denham on Market Street has property they've owned for years on both sides, one behind their used car dealership, and they've wanted to expand, and they've been turned down, which doesn't make sense when you say you need more tax dollars. Now they've got additional property on the other side of the street, right by their car dealership, that they also want to expand and bring in more tax dollars. And I'm just wondering why the city council won't back up this wonderful original company, small business here local in Reading that has just been so good all these years. And I'll take my answer over the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Anita.
All right, thank you. Well, first, because it hasn't come across council yet. It hasn't gotten to our desktops yet. And when it does, I will be very favorable to that. Any business in town that wants to expand, I give them a huge credit for trying to do that. So the fact of the matter is that it's probably at planning level right now, and it hasn't come before council. But I'm very open to that, and I would not stand in their way. In fact, I would do what I can to help that process go as quickly as possible.
Great. We're glad to hear that. Okay, we're going to have to take a break. We've got 10 minutes left. The calls are coming in. We've got emails. So we're going to get back on it with 10 minutes. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest today is our Mayor Patrick Jones. This is Free Fire Radio here on KCNR, clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM. Our guest is Patrick Jones. Carl Linda Bott, 605-4567. Okay, how does one contact Patrick Jones via email, and does he look at and answer his emails? You get to him, just go to the City of Reading, go to the council, City Council Chamber. It will have his email address on there. And, Patrick, you do look and answer every one of your emails.
That's correct. I do go over emails every day, several times a day, and try to get back with people, absolutely.
Okay.
Or they can write messages, too, get them to our city clerk, and that can come to us as well. And if it's something really important, you can just call me at 222-3223. So, I mean, I try to stay as available as I can.
Okay. We're going to go to Gary on line one.
Good.
Okay, Gary, you're up.
How are you folks this morning?
We're great, thank you.
We're hot here.
Hey, I'm wanting to bring something up, or possibly clarify something, Patrick. When we speak of the city staff and their raises are actually deferred. Their contracts say if it was a 5-year contract, would wind up not taking a raise this year. It would be a 6-year contract. So in essence, they don't really lose their raise. If one of the unions backs some money and defers the raise, then they actually lose it, and they would have to go back and renegotiate that again. And it's my contention that our city staff should be leading by example And in these tough times, they should be giving up a contractual raise rather than defer it and stretch that that contract out further. It would just show good faith to the unions when we ask them to do something, because you know we're going to have to do that. And I think it would show good faith all the way around.
That's a good question, Gary. As you are aware, because Gary goes to lots of council meetings, I think he goes to every one of them, and I like Gary and I like his questions. But I would disagree with him on this point, in that in some of our negotiations we have just moved everything out a year, and essentially they do not get, that's a zero raise or increase that year. So deferring a raise does move it out. Most city workers are going to get a raise based on the price index, and so the matter of deferring them out, they're going to get a zero raise that year, and they will not realize that extra value that year. They will down the road, but they would have down the road anyways. So the fact of the matter is we save money, and it saves taxpayers money when we defer out and a zero for that year. We've done that several times, and when you just look at the plain math, it saves money, and it's good for the taxpayer today in these conditions. And so I guess I would agree with part of it and agree with some of it.
Thank you for your call, Gary. We're going to go to another email. Are you discouraged, Mayor Jones, that no company is committed to Stillwater Business Park, even after the free land? Should we get a new realtor to promote it?
Well, you know, this promoter, he's done, you know, a lot. The fact of the matter is he's got a tough job ahead of him. He's going to try to promote something inside California that is going to be very difficult to do, attracting light industry to Redding, even with the opportunity of giving free land away. As we can see, it's not easy. But he's doing it, and he's doing it at no pay right now. Now, eventually, when a company does come here, he'll get, you know, a percentage, a small percentage for his time. And I know he'll want that. Obviously, he's done a lot of years of work, thousands and thousands of flyers and conferences and meetings, and has not, you know, brought anything fruitful so far. But you know, I'm not discouraged. I know we're in a global recession. You know, I've been a critic of Stillwater for a long time, and I needed convincing that this was a good use of public funds, and I did support the first bond, but thereafter I really had reservations about it, and voted no after no after no. And I see the value of trying to attract business here, but I think that should have been done by a private developer as opposed to totally on the backs of the taxpayers. I don't think that was the role of the city. It was a good endeavor, but a costly one for us. And timing, of course, couldn't be worse. We're in a global recession. We've got all kinds of laws, AB 32. You know, in California, we have to have pre-1990 greenhouse gas emissions by any industry in 2020, and that really prohibits who's going to come to Redding. We also have to pay prevailing wage at Stillwater, which, again, is going to be a huge disadvantage for somebody trying to relocate here and having to pay prevailing wage, and that's something that we learned very recently. I was not in favor of giving land away. That's taxpayers' money.
Patrick, what you're saying here, this is very discouraging, that if we're going to have to pay prevailing wage, they can't build anything here that doesn't meet greenhouse emissions from pre-1990s, and the fact of all the other little development and business fees that the state, the county, and the city put on it. I mean, this is getting to be, I mean, I'd yep. like, can I have a piece of land out there?
Well, I tell you, if you can bring businesses here, the council is certainly ready and willing to do that. You know, but it's a tough environment, and you know, we've all wanted. I can't think of a single council member over the past decade that didn't want to bring some light industry to Redding. The fact of the matter is, to create wealth, that industry does that, but it's very difficult to attract them here. And again, that's why no developer essentially stepped forward to do this, because they knew that this is just not a good business deal. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, by the way, we've got an email that came in about, you know, the guy, quickly, America's Most Wanted, Sergeant Jason, I can't read it from here. What does it say, Bob? Castaway, is going to be on television today, to discuss his role in taking down the armed bank robbers in Bernie. So check that out, America's Most Wanted, and congratulations. We're all about that.
Well, you know, Patrick, this is something you need to be is on the show at least once a month. just so many questions, and you seem to have a real good grasp of everything that's going on in the city. I know they're talking about that meeting today at 4 o'clock, supposedly. I think they're there just to discuss the privatization of the Civic Center, not to sell it, but that's something that you may want to check out.
We have 1 minute left. Closing thoughts in 1 minute.
Well, first I want to thank everybody in Reading, especially all the businesses. We know how tough it's been out there. You have to work harder and harder, and in this global recession, they're just simply people's spending habits have changed quite a bit. So for everybody out there that owns and operates a business, I say hang in there. Thank you for doing what you do and making Reading the place that it is today. To our city workers, thank you. We value what you do as well for the city. I know it's going to be a tough year, but we will get through it together with cooperation. We will make it through this year. And I'm always optimistic. I think there'll be some bright spots along the way.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Patrick. It's Carl and DeBott. Tomorrow our guest will be the Gold Diggers and Rob Burrell. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR, Shasta Redding.